redeemed in the house today. Hallelujah. God's grace and mercy has been over your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just give God praise and glory. He's been so good to me. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I've been changed. We'll be right back.
us your presence.
For your presence changes.
Let's praise God a little bit. Scripture said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Has anybody tasted of the Holy Ghost wine in this place? Say, once I tasted it, I've got a mark on me, and I can never go back. I can never go back to the old self, to the old life, to the old man. I got a new man walking in my shoes. I've been changed. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. And there's nothing like this thing. He's coming back for me. He's taking me out of here. God's doing wonderful things. We're so excited about Brother Phil Hendricks being in the house tonight. Everybody, he preached a wonderful message. We heard from God this morning. The glory of God is being manifest. It started this morning. It's going to continue through the year, and we're excited about what God's going to do. I believe he's got a word from God in the house tonight. I believe it will come readily to us this night, and I invite him to come up to open up the word, to preach whatever's on his heart. Lord, somebody raise your hands and say, "Brother Hendricks, preach to me." Somebody pray your blessings upon his family and upon his church there in Chicago. Brother, come preach to us in Jesus' name. We love you.
Well, can you praise the Lord again? My. The Lord is good. Somebody responded with the right answer. All the time. He's good on Sunday. And the church said amen. He's good on Monday. He's good on Tuesday. He's good on Wednesday. All right, let's have altar. I don't feel like preaching long tonight. I just feel like telling you what God told me and get out the way and go to Shoney. Y'all got Shoney's over here? No. We don't have it by our place either, but they had it when I was growing up. And they had on Sunday morning and Saturday morning, they had a bacon. Well, they had a buffet, but they had this heap of bacon on the buffet.
that has made a lasting impression on my life. Mom, Dad, you say, you gonna get anything other than bacon? I said, no. I'm telling you, Shoney's lost money when I came to town. I had about 4 or 5 pounds of bacon myself. And that's why I have such a wonderful physique at 32 years of age. Boy, I just enjoyed all the music tonight. I just enjoyed it. You know, we always make a case for the way that we act. I do it all the time, every Sunday. Especially when we have guests and we're jumping and we're shouting and we're bouncing off the walls. I act like a lawyer sometimes. I get behind the pulpit and I say, this is the reason why we do this. I like to submit to you, Exhibit A, Psalms 150. I do it all the time. But you know, today there's a football game going on in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's about 20 degrees there. And there's grown men wearing cheese heads. Do I really have to defend what we're doing here tonight? If they can wear cheese heads in Green Bay and take off their shirts and paint them green and yellow, then I can come and I can give God praise. I can dance a little bit and I can shout a little bit. I can wave my hands if I want to. Because I guarantee you one thing. The Lord has done a lot more for me than Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Nothing against them. But they didn't die for me on a cross. They didn't bring me out of a miry clay. They didn't save my family and save my daddy and save my mama. They didn't heal my dad of a terminal disease. I'm here to tell you today, we ought to give God praise. Old song says this, what do you think about Jesus? Well, now, what do you think about Jesus? Well, now, what do you think about Jesus? Oh, he's all right. Oh, now, what do you think about Jesus? Oh, now, what do you think about Jesus? Oh, now, what do you think about Jesus? He's all right. We sing that for a little while, and then we tell you why we think he's all right. He healed my body. Well, he healed my body. He's all right. Then you know, when we were just a small little home missions church, that's really the only thing we could do is just sing a bunch of those songs because nobody could play. And so I got kind of tired of, you know, singing the same thing all the time. So we like to make up words in there and try to fit as many words in there as possible. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You know, it's fun to have church, but you can just fill in the blank. There are people in this house, no doubt, that have been healed of cancer, that have been healed of diabetes. There are people in this house today that have been delivered of drugs, of crack, of heroin, of marijuana. There are people in this house that have been delivered, I mean like the real thing, delivered of alcohol. They don't need AA anymore. They got J-E-S-U to the S. That sister was singing a little bit earlier. The J to the E to the S to the A, whatever she was saying. I love it. Don't worry, I'm going to preach today. Grab your Bibles quickly and turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13. And again, I want to say this, and I'm not from here, so I can say this. And they didn't tell me to say this, so I can say this. If you are looking for a church, this is your first time here or your second time, and you're still looking, look no further. This is home. This is the place to be. This is genuine. You're not going to find this on TV. Deuteronomy chapter 13, if you're there, say amen. I'll begin reading with verse number 14. And the Bible says, "Then shalt thou inquire and make search, and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain, that such an abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of the city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shalt burn with fire the city and all the spoil thereof, every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again." The Lord is always going to begin to tear things down in our lives. He's got to tear things down so he can build things back up again. I know this is Old Testament, but let's apply it to the new. He's got to tear down some things so he can build it back up again. And the church says amen. Now turn with me very quickly to Joshua chapter 21, verse number 43. Yeah, I'm going to go to verse 45. The Bible says, "And the Lord gave unto Israel," everyone say, "the Lord gave." "The Lord gave unto Israel all the land." Did it say some? Not just a little bit. "All the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of some of their enemies, all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered some of their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing." I feel like preaching. "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. Some." "All came to pass." Now, I don't know if the Lord has spoken to you. I would assume that he has. I would assume in the past 25 years, Pastor Sutton, that the Lord has sent prophets and preachers to this pulpit and spoken a word over the congregation. As I felt this morning, this is kind of a culmination. It's all coming to a head. And these promises, I've just come to remind you, these promises that have been spoken behind this pulpit for the past 25 years as a church collectively, they will come to pass. They will come to pass. And now let me speak to your life individually. So as long as you're dedicating your life to the Lord and you're living in accordance to thy word, if the Lord has given you promises, if the Lord has told you things that he was going to do, like save your auntie or save your uncle or save your mother and save your father. There's probably some young men here or young women here tonight, and you're all by yourself. Your mom and dad don't even live for God. But maybe the Lord has told you that he's going to bring mommy in. He's going to bring daddy in. And maybe the Lord has told you he's going to save your sister or your friend or your uncle. Whatever the case may be, it will come to pass. Well, I thought I'd get a better response on that one. But if my auntie or my uncle, who are in a denominational church walked in the back door of my church, I would begin to shout a little bit. I would begin to dance a little bit. I would begin to leap a little bit. And what I just told you is that God is not a liar. If he said it before, he's going to do it. It will come to pass. I preached this message one other time, and I feel like preaching it here tonight. And so Tape Ministry, get ready for the title, because it's long and I need your help with it. Turn to your neighbor, and this is my title. Say, I'm not greedy, but I want everything. No, neighbor, I said everything. I said everything. From A to Z. From Z to A. From the beginning to the end. I want everything that God says is mine. I'm not greedy. I just want everything that God says is mine. And if he says I can have peace, I want peace. If he says I can have joy, I want joy. If he says I can have life, I want life. If he says I can be healed, I want to be. If he says I can be delivered, I want to be. I'm not greedy. I just want everything God says is mine. If you believe it, why don't you put your hands together and give the Lord a shout of praise. No, no, no. I mean really give God praise. You can be seated if you're going to jump back up here in a second. You know, if I can make a special request, Brother Sutton, if I could have all the musicians just stay with me tonight. We're going to bang on cymbals for a little bit and bang on the organ and bang on piano. And who knows what's going to happen, but I do know by the end of this thing, somebody's going to get delivered. And somebody's going to get healed. And somebody's going to get set free. The universe that we live in, the world that we live in is made up of a fabric. I'm going to get real deep and profound for a moment. I'll try anyway. It's made of a fabric called space-time. Space and time are so tightly interlaced that they simply cannot be separated. When a person moves in any direction, his time becomes personal. It becomes unique. It becomes quite distinguished from everyone else's time. That's why we ask questions like, what did you do today? Where did you go? What have you done? Time, therefore, is sometimes defined by what I do or what I have done. Time is indeed personal. Science has shown that the faster a person moves with respect to other people, the slower time becomes for them. The clocks begin to slow down. Their watches slow down. Your GPS can even account for the sensation in the car. The quicker you go, the faster you get there. Easy now, young men. Somebody's saying amen to that. Don't get tickets. Time is personal. My experiences and my movement through space-time are mine and mine alone. Your movements and your activities through space and time are yours and yours alone. Now, the effects of these movements through this fabric of space-time, they're difficult to understand. But there are some things that are simply immutable. You can't change them as much as you would like to change them. And that is this. The arrow of time points in one direction. It points into the future. It points into the future, not the past. It points into the future. No matter how hard you try to manipulate the arrow of time and make it to revert back to the past, it's simply not going to happen. Time will only point into one direction. And for that reason and that reason alone, we remember the past and never the future. Every regret, every mistake, every loss. Anybody ever experienced loss in the house? Every loss that you've experienced in your life, whether it be death, whether it be losing a family member to the world, whether it be your son or daughter backsliding. Any backsliders, you know any backsliders that are outside of these four walls tonight? Every nostalgic feeling of the past is revisited, but never future anticipated. The arrow of time is a dictator whose marching orders cannot be violated, cannot be thwarted. It's going to happen. Time is going to keep on ticking. We cannot decide to undo past mistakes. The driving whip of the past commands our next steps, and it demands a personally unique response to the present and in the present. There is no way getting around it. If you want your future to be different, you're going to have to respond in the present. If you want your future to be better than your past, you're going to have to respond in the present. You can say tomorrow like the wine and sing about in the 1980s every day of your life. But the fact of the matter is, tomorrow is going to be the same as yesterday and the day before yesterday and 10 weeks ago and 10 years ago. Unless you make up in your mind that you're going to do something today that will alter your future and alter... Science has declared with absolute certainty that the past cannot be redeemed. We can be redeemed in the present, but our past cannot be redeemed. Our sins can be washed away, but we can't undo the fact that we were born into sin and shapen in iniquity. We can't undo those things personally. There are some things that I would like to undo as well. For instance, I have a cousin. My cousin is 32 years of age, the same age as I am. We grew up together. A great man. A very good man. A kind man. A gentle man. We grew up on the church pews together, singing the same songs. We would dance together. We would praise the Lord together. I remember one time in youth service, he was given the job of taking up the offering. And he got the microphone and went behind the pulpit. And as he got behind the pulpit and tried to open up his mouth, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and slapped him right in that pulpit. And he fell down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave the utterance. And the whole place went nuts. He was sensitive to the Spirit of God. He was sensitive to the moving and the quickening of the unctions of God Almighty. But it's sad to say that my cousin is no longer in church. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't live for God. He doesn't pay his tithes. We no longer can have the conversations about what God is doing. I can't call him after we had 17 filled with the Holy Ghost on Sunday and say, "Hey, John, guess what happened?" Because the fact of the matter, he tries as much as possible to act like he simply doesn't care. He's not mean about it, but I lost a friend. I lost a cousin. I lost him to the world. And I don't know about you, but if I could go back in time, I would go back in time. And I would try to undo everything that made him and caused him to make the wrong decision. But the fact of the matter is, I can't. And I don't know about you, but that makes me a little upset. A little bit upset that I can't help my buddy out, that I can't help my friend out. The hours and the times that I've got down on my knees and said, "Lord, whatever it is, let me go back and let me undo whatever. Just let me, God, help me. Give me a way out of this." And maybe some of you here today, maybe have a son, or maybe you have a daughter, or maybe you have a loved one, or maybe you have a family member that has turned their back on God and it's robbing you of your walk with God. Every time you come to church, and we are having church tonight. I mean, people are dancing and people are shouting and people are leaping and people will be healed and set free. But every time you come to church and you dance and you shout for a little bit, and when you get back in your car and nobody's around and you're not listening to the preaching any longer, you're hit with the realization that you can't call Susie, your daughter, and tell her how great church was because she don't care. all of a sudden, all the joy that you felt an hour ago in church has been erased with memories of yesteryear. Memories of you dressing Susie when she was just 5 years old. Memories of Susie being baptized in the baptismal. Memories of Johnny getting baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. All that joy that you felt on Sunday night, by Monday morning, it's erased because you just want your daughter back and you just want your son back. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. And here it is. We're living from Sunday to Sunday and Wednesday to Wednesday. Lord, fill me back up again because I'm depressed again. When is Johnny going to get back in church? And when is Susie going to get back in church? And when is Mom going to pray through? And when are you going to say, I'm tired of feeling lonely. We can't undo the past. No matter how hard we try, we just simply cannot undo the past. We sing songs in church, and I sing them in my church. Songs like, I want it all back. Everything that the devil has stolen, I want it back. We get to our feet, and we dance, and we shout, and we run around the aisles. I want Susie back, and I want Johnny back. And we dance about it a little bit, and we shout about it. Everything that the devil's stolen, God's going to give it back to me. Everything that the devil has taken, I'm going to get my joy back. I'm going to get my peace back. Oh, I'm going to get my praise back. I'm going to get my preach back. Come on, somebody. You know you sing it. I'm going to get it back. And one day I was boo-hooing and praying to the Lord. And I don't know how the Lord talks to you, but he talks to me in a different way. He said, that's it, huh? That's all? I said, what are you talking about? John's not back yet. That's all you want? Lord, save John. That's all you want, huh? What are you talking about, Lord? I just want my cousin back. When are you going to save him? If you save him, then I'll ask for something else. We sing these songs, I want it all back. But if we are suggesting that I simply only want what the enemy has stolen from me when we sing these songs, like, I want it all back. Sorry, I don't want it just all back. If you are suggesting to me that the only thing that you're interested in is getting what the enemy has stolen from you, if you are suggesting to me that you would be perfectly content with Johnny or Susie coming back to church after you've lost an intimate relationship with them for 15 years. If you just want your health back, I'm fixing to preach because I'm preaching to somebody in this house. Lord, if you just heal my body, if you just save me, if you just heal my body, if you would just heal my body, God, if you would just give me back what I've lost, is that all that you want? My dad was on his deathbed. I don't know if I've told this here. If I have, forgive me. He was on his deathbed. He was telling me goodbyes. He was telling everybody goodbyes. They gave him an hour to live. And I pulled the doctor aside. I said, are you telling me he's only... He said, man, he's only got an hour. And if it gets bad here in the next few minutes, I'm going to have to give him something to relieve him. You don't want him to go out like this. I said, man, an hour? My wife came into the room and she was pregnant with our first baby. And something just... I said, wait a second. My wife's pregnant. We're going to have a baby. That's going to be his granddaughter. And he's telling goodbye. And I got in his face and I said, Dad, I don't want you to die. I'm such a good, loving son, I know. Dad, I don't want you to die. You've got to see my daughter that's going to be born. He looked at me with love in his eyes, and as good as he could, he said, oh, I'd love to see her, but I'm going home. I said, are you kidding me? He's going home. And then I forgot I was his pastor too. I said, well, if the son thing don't work, let me try the pastor thing. I put that thing on. I went in his ear. I said, hey! You're not done teaching Bible studies. You're not done winning the lost. I feel the Holy Ghost, Dad. You're not done. Your time is not done. Do you still want to win souls to the Lord? He said, yes. Do you want to win souls to the Lord enough that God will heal you right now? He said, yes, I do. I said, let me tell you something. This sickness that you were stricken with, yeah, you're not just going to get back your health here. But this sickness that you are stricken with, you're going to win so many people to God because of it. I don't know how it's going to happen, Dad, but it's going to happen. We began to sing songs in the house, songs in the hospital, doctors coming in and out. He touched me. Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that flooded my soul. For 8 hours, listen to this, young man, 8 hours. My dad, that was only given an hour to live, kept his arm raised for 8 hours under his own power on his deathbed, singing songs unto God. Let me tell you what the Lord did. The Lord gave him five or six more years left of life. And not only did he win souls, he won about 50 more souls to the kingdom of God. What are you trying to preach to me, preacher? I'm sorry. I'm a little mad when the enemy comes and takes something away from me. I get a little ticked off when somebody backslides that I love. I don't just want them back. I want them back, and I want to see the city of Chicago saved. See, this is how revival is going to break out in Birmingham. We can't just pray for getting everything back that we lost. We can't just be happy with 500 or 600 backsliders coming to church. We can't just be content with that. We've got to say, Lord, I want sister so-and-so back. I want brother so-and-so back. But I don't just want them back. Give me Birmingham. Give me Trustville. When the Lord was telling me what I needed to pray for, he said, that's all. I said, what do you want me to pray for? You know, I'm a jealous God, Phil. I said, yeah, where are you going with this? Are you jealous for your God? Are you jealous for the ones you love? Do you get a little upset when something is taken away from me that you taken away from you that you love so dearly? I said, yes. Well, what does that make you want to do? Let me ask you this. Anybody, you got keys to your car? Give me keys. Somebody throw me keys. Hurry. Hurry, quickly. I used to play hacky sack, not anymore. What kind of car is this? See, with this, you don't even know what it is. If you don't know what it is, I don't want to drive it. Whose Dodge is this? What kind of Dodge is it? Oh, my God. The Lord is blessing me. How many miles does it have on? 40,000. What year is it? 2000. Does it still smell new? I'm not going to ask what it smells like then. 40,000 miles on Dodge Ram, 250. You mind if I borrow it? No? You don't mind if I borrow it for a couple years? You mind if I borrow it for like, I don't know. You still paying on it probably? Okay. As long as, well, they probably care if I borrow it. Well, let's just say it belonged to you. You mind if I borrow this for maybe a couple years and put maybe 100,000 miles on it and key it up and ding it up? But you're sitting back there at your house saying, oh, just bring my Dodge Ram back, Lord. Just bring my Dodge Ram back. Then I show up 2 years later and you're just so glad to have that once beautiful, what color is it? Once beautiful white Dodge Ram 2500 that you just pat me on the back and say, thanks, buddy. I appreciate you bringing me back, but I'll tell you what that car smells like now. It's got key scratches everywhere. The chrome rims are off it. I just left some cheapo hubcaps that you get at AutoZone. Stay with me here. I know it's funny. I took out the stereo, sold it on eBay. The windshield is cracked. The power steering doesn't work any longer. I didn't bother to get it fixed because it's not mine. You have to put oil in it every time you drive. But you got it back. And so you would just say, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for bringing it back. I have a feeling. I don't know you, brother. But I have a feeling that you might say, now, hold on a second. You are not going to bring back my truck that's a 2010 that I bought when it was brand spanking new off the showroom floor that shined and glistened in the light. You're not going to bring that back to me all busted down and disgusted. I think there's some things, Brother Stephen, you said this morning. I think there's some things that are owed to me. I think there's some compensation that's due for me and due to me. I think I deserve something a little bit more than what I'm getting back. And Christians today and apostolics today, we're so, here's a word I make up all the time, we're so pansified. Thank you, Lord, for giving back what I lost. Thanks, devil, too. I appreciate you giving them back. Till next time. Instead of him being our enemy, he's like, thanks, buddy, for letting our son and our daughter go. And I know that some of you all are, your hearts are breaking because your daughter and your son aren't in church. And your hearts are breaking because your loved one isn't living for God. And you've been praying these prayers for the last 6 months, the last 6 years, the last 10 years. And what the Lord is trying to get you to understand is if you just keep praying for the minimal, then the enemy is going to agonize you. The enemy is going to hold on as long as it possibly can to the one thing that has kept you from doing exactly what he wants to keep you from doing. And that is the work of God. He's distracted you so much with illness. He's distracted you so much with loved ones that have turned their back on God that you're not doing anything for the kingdom. And what the Lord is trying to tell the church of the living God is you need to roll up your sleeves and understand that you are a child of the King, that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Father and he is jealous for you. And let me tell you something, he is jealous for every person that backslides. He's jealous for every person that goes through downs and valleys, and he wants you to quit praying for the bare minimum. If the enemy starts messing with this church, what this church needs to do is get down on their knees and say, you know what, we're not just going to pray for what we lost. We're going to start praying, and we're going to start knocking on doors, and we're going to start sending out flyers and giving more Bible studies than we've ever given. Because let me tell you something, the enemy is not going to get the glory. Some of y'all heard me, but somebody really needs to hear me today. The enemy has been getting the glory for too long, for stealing your loved ones, stealing your mommy, stealing your daddy, stealing your auntie and your uncle, your son and your daughter. What you need to do is shake yourself off. Can I just feel like I'm home for a moment here? I got three words for you. Get over it. See, you liked me for a while until I said it. I said, get over it. You don't give Bible studies any longer. It's a lot harder for you to stand up and to wave your hands. It's a lot harder for you to dance and shout and leap unto God. It's a lot harder for you to pay your tithes. It's a lot harder for you to go to prayer before service because you've been dealt with this blow of losing somebody so long. And instead of taking it out on the enemy, you've been taking it out on yourself and God. That's exactly where the enemy wants you. But turn to your neighbor and say, excuse me, I'm not greedy, but I want everything. No, neighbor, you didn't hear me yet. I said, I want everything. Neighbor, let me get more specific with it. That's my family member saved. Come on, say it. I want my ministry back. I want my anointing back. I want my faith back. I want my shout back. Oh, I'm not done yet. Keep telling the enemy what I want you to tell him. Lord, I want my neighbors too, because they need the Holy Ghost too. I want my co-workers too. I want the waitress when I go out to eat to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, forgive me for just praying about Johnny. I'm going to start praying for everybody. I'm going to start claiming everything. I don't just want my health back. I want everything that God says is mine. That means I want Johnny, but I want revival. I wish somebody would make some noise. I wish to God that somebody that has lost something would get up out of your pew and come to this altar right now. I want people that have lost something dear to your heart to come to this altar. I felt to tell this church tonight that I really do believe with all my heart, and I felt like I heard from God, that you are going into a season of unprecedented revival. But before you launch out into the deep and cast your nets out for a drought, there's some things in the past that you're just going to have to get over. Are you hearing me, moms and dads? I know you're not going to stop praying for them. Don't stop praying for them. But get your eyes off the past. If we're going into revival like never before, then we've got to get our eyes off the past. And we're going to have to start looking in the future. I want you to visualize for a moment all the stuff that you lost coming back to you. If it's your health, I want you to visualize with faith your body being made whole again. If you lost a loved one, I want you to visualize that loved one walking in the back door of this church and coming up to this altar and being filled and refilled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, really do it. You got to do this right now. Now, we've looked at the past. Now, can I fix your eyes? Can I direct your eyes upon the future? Can you visualize with me in the Holy Ghost? Thousands of souls coming to God in this house. Well, Pastor, I can visualize a few. I said thousands of souls coming to God. Now, this is what I need you to do. This might not be theologically correct, but I don't really care. I want us just to act for the next 5 minutes that our answer of Johnny and Susie and our health and our disease, all of that coming back to us and even more, everything that we've ever desired is predicated upon our praise. So that means if you haven't danced tonight, you need to dance. And if you haven't shouted tonight, you need to shout, because you need to hear this preacher right now. The answer is on its way. They're coming back. They're coming in. Now, why don't you go ahead and praise God like you really believe it? Come on, close your eyes. Let the tears flow. Let out a shout of praise. Believe it. Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Come on, church. Come on, saints of God. Come on, elders. Sisters, come on, brothers. I tell you what, the enemy doesn't like this. He's getting a little scared right now. You quit praying like you've been praying for the last few years. Come on, Johnny's coming back. Somebody needs to bow up tonight and look the enemy right in the eye and say, Satan, the blood of Jesus. Somebody needs to dance under God. You need to dance in advance. That's it. She's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming in. That's it. Come on, somebody needs to get violent. Bible says the violent take it by force.
What about the strength you took?
I want it back.
What about the love you took?
I want it back.
What about the joy you took?
I want it back.
What about the family and all your self-esteem, maybe your destiny?
I want it back.
What about the joy you tasted and the time you wasted? Do you want it back?
I want it back.
What about the place in God and all the faith in God? Even the way to God?
I want it back.
What about the hope you dream in your community?
Come on, they're coming back. She's coming back. He's coming back. By faith, by faith.
What about the strength?
Ladies, it's going to happen. Come on, Mama. Come on, Daddy. You've been praying a long time. You've been travailing a long time. You need your joy back tonight. You need your peace back tonight. listen, listen. Ladies, I need you to link up with somebody. Young, old, middle-aged, I need you to link up with somebody right now in Jesus' name. Man, you do the same thing. That's right. That's right. We're going on together. We're going to have revival together. We're going to believe for your need together. Come on, ladies. Come on, men. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, start travailing. Come on, get violent.
You thought I sat down, but I am standing. You made me mad now. You got some things. I think you owe me. I've got to get back everything that you stole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, it's breaking in the Holy Ghost. Those chains and those fetters are loosing. They're breaking. Go ahead, sing it. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, it's breaking. I feel it. By the power and the authority of Jesus, the pain and the agony have got to go. I pray that it give way to joy right now. I pray that it give way to peace right now. I pray that it gives way to rejoicing right now. Rejoice! 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 The enemy is defeated. Satan is under your feet. You're on the winning side. He's already paid the price. You've got to give him praise. You've got to shake it off you tonight. Go ahead, young people. Get your joy back.
Your community, your business. What about the joy you took? What about the truth you took? What about?
and the time you wasted, do you want it back?
Want it back.
What about the place in God and all the faith in God, even the way to God?
Want it back.
What about the hope and dreams in your community and if you're here to take?
Want it back. Want it back.
What about the power you took?
Want it back.
What about the love you took?
Want it back.
What about the strength you took?
Want it back.
What about your family and all your self-esteem, even your destiny?
Want it back.
What about the joy you tasted and the time you wasted, do you want it back?
Want it back.
What about your place in God and all the faith in God, even the way to
Listen, one more thing before we get out of here tonight, before I give it over to your pastor. It's going to happen. They're coming back. They're coming in. Revival is here. Souls are coming to God. It's happening. But what I feel we need to do to just seal the deal tonight is we need to get one mind and one accord together and praise God for it in advance one more time. One more time. I just feel that there's somebody that's teetering on having victory tonight and leaving the same way you walked in. And I feel if we could just bind together one more time in one mind and one accord that we all could leave this place tonight victorious. So why don't you go ahead and give him a crazy praise? Yeah, give him a shout of praise. Praise him for the victory. I'm telling you, this is what is making the enemy scared to death. Go ahead, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. From the front to the back, from the side to the side. Woo! Come on. A little bit louder now. A little bit stronger now. We got some believers in this house. Yeah! 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 Jesus goes up, the glory comes down. Sister, you know you want to let loose. Go ahead and let loose. Go ahead and cut around. Go ahead, brother. You let loose. Woo! The enemy's had your joy for too long. You can be delivered right now. Something could be moving on your mama that's across another state right now. Something could be moving on your backslidden son and backslidden daughter right now. You might get a phone call in the morning.
Mama, I'm coming back. Daddy, I'm coming back. Young people, go ahead, young people. It shall all come to pass. It shall all come to pass. Everything that God has said, it shall come to pass.